Since 1941, serving the public interest. WJZM Radio, Clarksville, Tennessee.
The views and opinions expressed on the Rendezvous Radio program are intended to provide an inside look at the soldiers and missions of the 101st Airborne Division. Fort Campbell and the U.S. Army do not endorse this station or its advertisers. Endorsement should not be implied as a result of this program or its content.
Yes, welcome back. It's Rendezvous Radio. Clarksville, Fort Campbell, Hopkinsville, Oak Grove, Woodlawn.
Palmyra.
Don't forget them.
Never. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
And worldwide.
Which is, by the way, Rendezvous Radio, number one podcast, according to Podomatic in the government organization category.
That's good.
Number one. You know what helps? When you have the 101st Airborne Division as your megaphone.
That's right.
That is a key contributing factor to telling of the soldier story. It's never been done before like this.
No.
All right? If you're brand new to the show, let me tell you something. You're part of something big here. Because what has taken place here is the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault, Fort Campbell Garrison, all right, and WJZM, WVRY, Heartland Radio, has joined team and partnered up to tell the story of the soldiers, which is remarkable. Because they're the pioneers, and this is the first time this has ever happened, and it's been approved, and we are honored to relay that message to the listening audience. And, that's 105.1 FM WVRY and WJZM 1400 AM. Yeah,
that's it.
I'm your host, former Sergeant Joe Padula. I was a Screaming Eagle for quite a few years, 4 years on and off the battlefield, and it was an honor to serve with my fellow brothers and sisters of the 101st Airborne Division, and it is my privilege, okay, and to be able to continue telling the soldier story.
I know. I look forward to this every week.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it started with the airstrike.
Yeah.
Okay, the strike brigade setting up the airstrike show, and then, man, just saying, hey, let's tell everyone's story.
Let's get everybody in here.
Let's do it. And we're doing it. And today, we're going to have the Rockasans in here.
All right.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I love the Rockasans. You know why, John?
Why is that?
Because they're the Rockasans.
That's right? Rock.
Because they rock.
That's right. They
rock. Steady. That's a cadence.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're gonna be introducing the Rockasan panel in here in a bit. And, they got pretty remarkable. All right? I got to give it to the public affairs officer of the 3rd Brigade, Major Stacy Hopwood, okay? Because she really stepped up and made sure that that today's show is going to be special. All right? Today, the focus of the Rockasan portion of the show is being a Rockasan and being a veteran, okay? All three men that will be here soon in studio, all right? They're actually sitting here right now, but we want to give the illusion that they're not in the studio.
They're coming
yet.
In just
right.
A moment.
Yeah, they're actually sitting in the chairs right now.
They're in the green room.
But yeah, they're in the green room, right. They're in the green room. Hey, guys, how's the green room, all right? Oh, they can't hear us, right?
That's right. Soundproof.
But the focus, okay, is going to be all three men have been to war, been Rockasans, and has graduated the Air Assault School. Okay, we're going to be talking about training as a Rockasan for war. We're going to be, being at war as part of the 187th Infantry Regiment. That is the infantry regiment that makes up the 3rd Brigade Combat Team of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault. Man, that's a lot of words.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of words.
That's all right.
But you know what that means, right? Very effective.
That's true.
Very effective on and off the battlefield. And yeah, and not for nothing, they all been through the air assault course, all different stages of time, and we're going to go over the differences, okay? You know, I'm not going to say any time was harder or lesser. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll present the facts right here on Rendezvous Radio, and you, the listening audience, you guys can call in and join the conversation. All right, that's 931-645-6414.
That's it.
All right. Hold on. Let me dumb down the accent a little bit. You ready?
Okay. Just right. Say it a little slower.
All right. Hold on. Let me take a breath. Let me take a sip of coffee. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. 931-645-6414.
All right.
Is that better?
That's a lot better.
That was terrible, John. That was terrible. But we're going to go to break here. But when we get back, okay, we're going to get right into the panel. I don't want to waste any more time. They got a lot of stories to tell.
Get ready to Bring them in.
We got three generations of Rakusan sitting here in the green room. Actually, sorry, I didn't mean to.
Right. Yeah, they're not.
They're coming in during the break.
Yeah,
right. But yeah, we're going to go to break here. But when we get back, okay? Please, please make sure that you you listen to these men's stories because yeah, we're going to learn a lot today about what it means to be a hero and a courageous man on and off the battlefield. So hey, you're checking out Rendezvous Radio on WVRY 105.1 and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
Clarksville's only radio station for local news, talk, sports, WJZM Radio.
My specialist is Gabriel Fields with 132 Cav, 1st Brigade Combat Team Bastogne, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm PFC Brian Hilton with 132 Cav, 1st Brigade Combat Team Bastogne, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant Andrew Rhodes with 426 BSB, 1st Brigade Combat Team, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Rendezvous Radio, where it's the show of the 101st Airborne Division, Fort Campbell, and it's it's aired live, okay, every Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time at the WJZM Studios right here in Clarksville, Tennessee. Yeah, this is the place to be, you know, and those listening out there, you know, either you're listening through your radio or you can listen also through your smartphones, okay? If you got a Android, okay, you're going to get that app, and it's all free, all right? You're going to get that app, Winamp, all right? And then you're going to type in WJZM. If you got an iPhone, okay, you're going to listen, and it's free, of course. You download that free app, and that's a Shoutcast, okay? And then you type in WJZM, all right? And then, hey, if you're on your PC, okay, your non-Mac computer, okay, you're going to go to WJZM.com, all right? Click on that, go to Listen Live, and you can, hey, guess what? Listen Live, you know? We're not messing around here. Or if you got a Mac, go to Shoutcast.com, okay? Type in WJZM, Listen Live, all right? And, there we are. On all formats, man, we're broadcasting, and now sitting in studio, okay? We have here three generations of heroes. Okay, and I know heroes don't like to be called heroes, so I understand but you are, and I appreciate you guys here, and sitting here immediately to my left here at the on the Rakusan panel, all right, is Command Sergeant Major retired Jim Musgrove, and you are, sir, the current honorary regimental Command Sergeant Major of the Rakusans.
Yes.
It's great to have you in studio.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time and for sharing your story with our audience. And and then sitting across from me on the rock panel. Yeah. Rock steady. We got former First Sergeant, now Master Sergeant Patrick Maureen. And you are a Cav Scout, 19 Zulu.
Zulu now, yes.
Absolutely. Now, Top, now I got a question for you. You know, you're a... You are currently assigned to the 3rd Special Troops Battalion.
Yes.
Of the Rakusans, and you sitting here, maybe you can introduce the one who is now sitting to your left, okay, who completes the third generation of our three-man panel.
Yeah, the funny-looking dude sitting to my left is yes. It's my son, Corporal Jerry Brossman. He's assigned to Bravo Company, 1st the 187.
That is amazing. Corporal, how you doing, all right?
I'm doing good.
Let me tell you, it's great to have you here, all right? And what an honor. You know, your pops introduces you to to the audience, and bada bing, bada boom. I got to tell you, you know, thank you for joining the team today and taking your time and coming into the studio and telling your Rakusan story. You know, now, Command Sergeant Major, I got a question, okay? Today's focus of the show is being a Rakusan veteran. Now, could you maybe give a brief bio on when you joined the Army and why you joined and kind of what you've seen along the way?
Well, I came in 1955, came right here with the 11th Airborne Division.
Wow.
Went to jump school here, deployed to Europe with the 11th Airborne Division. They deactivated the 11th Airborne Division in July of 1958, 1 July of 58. Lebanon acted up at that time, and I happened to be in the 187.
Right.
And we sent the 187 RCT to Lebanon for 6 months at Beirut.
Man.
And then we came back to Fort Campbell. We was assigned and not assigned by pipeline then, not by units. I came back to the 101st at that time. And then I worked in Jump School for 3 years at the Jump Master School, and I went down to 2nd of 502 Strike. I was a recon platoon sergeant.
Strike.
For 3 years. And then I deployed to Europe, 7th Corps Long Range Patrol Company, and then Special Forces down at Batoltz, Vietnam, with an extension. And then from Vietnam, excuse me, because I speak German, or supposed to at that time, I was assigned back to Berlin, Attachment A, which is a SF unit at that time, and I was a team sergeant there. And then on the way back to Vietnam, and they was calling Vietnam off, I ended up down at Fort Benning for sergeant for 2 years, sergeant major at the academy, back to the 3rd ID in Europe, where I was the operations sergeant major and the battalion sergeant major back here to Fort Campbell. I was sergeant major of the 2nd of 503rd, which is 3rd Brigade, but then I went over to sergeant major of Eagle Support Brigade, which is the same thing as support battalion now.
That's a, sir, let me tell you, that is a lot of time, you know, devoted to service and country. And for that, you know, I and those who I represent say thank you. Okay, thank you for your service and your dedication to mission. And with that, I mean, you, I mean, your time here at Fort Campbell, then you've seen it grow. You've seen from the first days of Fort Campbell and Clarksville and everything that it was back in 1955. And then, you know, from today, which is a city of over 200,000 when you combine the Fort Campbell and Clarksville and the surrounding communities. I mean,
yes.
Through that time, did you expect such change?
Not really. But when I was here, started off, 41A was the only way you could get to Nashville.
Yeah.
Two lanes. And then when I come back, we had four lanes, I-24 and all that. And
yeah, now it's six lanes because people drive on that shoulder. Let's forget about it. You know what I mean?
And Nashville used to be city limits 52 miles, and you couldn't go to Nashville on a Class A pass.
Wow.
Tested people.
Wow. So 52 miles used to be the limit for the
50
pit.
50 was limit.
Oh, 50.
Nashville, 50.
That's right. That's right. You could hear what's going on in Nashville, but you couldn't participate. Right. Thank you. Appreciate that, Sergeant Major.
Thank you.
First Sergeant, Top, how you doing? All right?
Good.
Now I got a question, okay? Here you are, okay? I'm looking at your bio, and it says you were born in Moscow, Idaho.
Yes.
And you joined the Army in 1993, all right? And, yeah, out of Fort Knox, you became a Cav Scout. What made you decide to become a Cav Scout?
The influence of, actually, is the influence of one of my football coaches, who was a Cav Scout, and I was tossing in between infantry and cavalry, and so his influence, and then, of course, you know, I watched the video that every recruiter puts on, and it was Dune Buggies and Motorcycles, and I thought that was so cool. And
yeah.
Wasn't the reality, obviously.
Oh.
You know, it was kind of shocking, you know, when you arrived at Fort Knox, and they're showing you Bradleys, because I was horrified. I was like, what's going on here, you know?
But, that's right.
It worked out pretty well for me, so I can't complain.
Absolutely. And when did you get to Fort Campbell and the Rockasans?
I got to Fort Campbell in July of 2004. I got back from OIF-1. I was in 2nd Cavalry Regiment down at Fort Polk, and they disbanded. That was before they went to Lewis, and they kind of bounced around to Germany before they became strikers. And so we were disbanding, and they were standing up all these RISTAs, all these Cav squadrons in the light divisions.
RISTA. Why do they call them RISTA?
Reconnaissance, Surveillance, and Target Acquisition Squadrons.
Okay.
Is what they're for.
An acronym, yes.
Yeah.
Here on Rendezvous Radio, we take the Army acronyms, which are very confusing at times, and we present them to you so you can receive the information as well as possible. RISTAs.
So we got back from OIF-1, and I was actually sent out to NTC to augment TOC for 3rd Infantry Division, and where I got a call saying, hey, you know, this regiment is disbanding, you know, call your branch manager. And 101st opened up. Ever since a child, I wanted to serve in the 101st Airborne Division. And
yeah, Screaming Eagle.
And yeah, absolutely. So here I am. I've been here ever since.
What is what does the patch mean to you? The old day patch. I mean, even before you were a Screaming Eagle. What did it mean?
I just, you know, remember, you know growing up, you know, small town in Idaho, obviously, and grandfather's World War II vet, very, very patriotic, and used to watch a lot of World War II movies, and just seeing that passage, that's just the one passage that I can remember as a child that just, it was just for some reason, and it's probably because of old Abe, you know, I mean, if you look at the bald eagle, it's a symbol of freedom, and that's
right.
Really the most simplistic way for me to describe it is it generally to me, it means freedom, and it's just one of those things that ever since I was a child, it stuck with me, and you know, that opportunity wasn't there until 2004 when they started standing these cav squadrons up, because prior to that, you know, the only light divisions you can go to is 19 Delta. You can go to 10th Mountain where there was one cav troop, and then there was also one in 82nd. But other than that, that was it.
I mean, so because of the restructuring, you were able to man.
Yes,
I'm glad they restructured because I'm glad they brought you into the famed 101st, and old Dave is on your sleeve. Absolutely. Now, Corporal, how you doing? All right.
Doing good.
All right, now let me tell you something, okay? I got a bio on our two first panels here, and they're quite extensive. And then I got yours, and it's pretty good. Don't get me wrong, but you are young, you are tough, you are strong. When did you first join the Army?
Joined June 14th, 2011.
That's awesome. That's like just 2 years ago. You know what I mean? How do you love it so far?
It's great. It's an experience.
Yeah. Now, why did you join? Was it a? Did he make you? That's what I'm trying to get. All right. Did he force you? Let's tell the truth here.
No, I wasn't forced, but it's tradition.
No, so. Good. Good man. Yeah. How proud of you were you when he told you that? Hey, Pops, I think I want to join.
I was on a. I was on R&R from Afghanistan in 2010.
Right.
And that's the first time that he started seriously asking me questions about the Army.
Right.
And because prior to that, I just didn't push. You know, I want them to focus on athletics and then school, and they were very good at athletics.
Nice. So, yeah.
But so he started asking serious questions during that R&R, and then when I got back, you know, obviously he got more and more serious about it, and then you know, I remember the morning he was going to MEPS, and I kind of pushed him to the 11 Bravo, it just because knowing how he is, you know, as a dad to me, I just think that was just kind of more his lane, where he'd get more out of it, you know, where he would enjoy it, and which some people might say I'm a bad father for that, I guess.
No, a father who enabled what his son wanted. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, because, you know, even at the last minute, he was, you know, oh, well, what about you? You're 19 Delta. And I was like, look, buddy, you're going to be more, you know, when you deploy as many times as I have, you know, do you want to do the job with 40 dudes in a platoon, or do you want to do it, you know, 16 or 17, which is normally what we have in a cav platoon? And, you know, that's really honestly the big reason why I wanted to push him towards infantry, because,
yeah.
you know bigger squads, if you will.
So Corporal, infantry, okay, the 11 series, all right, the 11 Bang Bang, the 11 Bravo, all right, a special training goes into our infantry units, and, you know, what do you have to say about your 11 series?
It's, once again, it's an experience. It gets better as I move up in the ranks. Now I got my own fire team.
Yeah.
And I enjoy training the dudes. And, you know, it goes all the way from the buddy team level to the platoon level, and even as far as company. And it's I'm glad I was pushed to the 11 Bravo.
There you go. All right. Me too. Me too. It kind of brings a little diversity to the Rock-a-Son panel here. Sergeant Major, I got a question. Okay, here you are. You have all of these years in, and when we're going to be leading at the break here, but when we get back, we're going to get into the your Rock-a-Son specific experiences. But seeing these two carrying the torch that you guys started and the guys before you started, you know, I mean, it's got to be nice to see the legacy being passed on and the lineage continuing.
Oh yes, I was out with his battalion yesterday, and they run squad competitions, I believe they call it. And as I said to them at the end, us old golden Rock-a-Sons, as you say, we don't have no problems at all turning the sword over to them, because what I see out there every day and yesterday, they can very well carry the torch into the further years. And we are still all proud to be Rock-a-Sons.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, Rakusan Pride happening right here on Rendezvous Radio. Okay, but we're going to go take a break, and but when we get back, okay, we're going to be getting into the Rakusans of yesterday, the Rakusans of today, and the Rakusans of tomorrow. Right here on Rendezvous Radio, 105.1 WVRY and 1400 AM WJZM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Headquarters and Headquarters Company, 2nd Brigade Strike, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant First Class Ed Tolley from the 2nd Brigade Combat Team Strike. You are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private First Class Gabriel Perkins from HHC 2nd Brigade Strike, and you are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Specialist Kyle Owens from HHC 2nd Brigade Strike, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
A Specialist Jean.
Yes! Welcome back, Rendezvous Radio, where this is your rendezvous with Destiny via the airwaves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the internet waves. Is that what it's called? Is it called internet waves? All right, yeah, the internet currents, okay? But yeah, welcome back. And sitting in studio today is the three generations of Rakusans. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I love it. And Sergeant Major, you mentioned that you were doing the PT with we'll call you tomorrow, okay, Corporal?
All right. That's fine.
you were doing the PT with tomorrow's Rakusans, all right? You know,
I wasn't doing the PT. I was observing them. They was doing the test.
I tell you, you know, and today's standards of physical training, okay, Corporal, and how important is it for you to be trained, you know, combat-focused PT, and push to your physical limits, you know, while training?
It's very important for both garrison and in country.
Right, absolutely. Now, Top, you've seen multiple deployments within the past decade here, okay? And with that, the training that goes on in the land of Rakusan, okay? I mean, how effective is it for the because when you put on that body, you know, the body armor, when you put on the gear and you go for those runs and you flip those tires and you carry those logs and you're like, man, why am I doing this? Well, maybe you could tell us, you know, how important and does that work?
Well, it does work, and I think, I mean, for me personally, and I know for, you know, really 1,000 soldiers out there, you know, you don't want to be in the middle of something very bad going on and have that be the second you realize that maybe I should have taken physical fitness a little bit
right.
more serious.
Right.
And, you know, and yeah, PT's always been a big deal in the Army, but and then really once the war's kicked off, it was even more so. And I'll be honest, I think it's very unit specific where how hard PT's done, you know, down to division and sometimes even brigade and battalion. But what I can tell you is, you know, as a leader, and I know my soldiers got tired of hearing it. You know, that's you know my number one priority next to marksmanship was always physical fitness, and you know, and especially as a first sergeant, because. These kids that raise their right hands now, they already know. It's not a question. It's not like when I joined, which was, you know, nothing really going on, but it could. And so we train for, hey, this could happen. These kids now, they raise their right hand, and they know what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, at the time, you know, last decade, we, you know, been involved in two wars. And for soldiers to not take fitness seriously, it's I mean, me personally, it's, you know, I harped on it so much, and you know, if you've ever had to drag someone, you know, in a firefight to an aid station or to a CCP or whatever it might be, you know, just for one example, you know, that's when you'll see, hey, this is why it's so important.
Right.
Or you know, patrolling and all those other things, you know, and it's got to be more than just lip service, and you've got to be very creative with it too. And if you look around, and I know in particular in our brigade, I mean, you see some of, you know, some of the most combat focused, you know, holistic, you know, full body PT, and I think where we kind of went astray in my opinion when I was coming up through the ranks, you know, was in certain units where it was I want to do PT for the PT test,
right?
You know,
right.
And that was the focus. But if you can't manipulate your own body and your own body weight, then there's no way you can do it with, you know, 100 pounds of gear on.
Yeah, so. I mean. And train as we fight is the phrase, and I mean, and nothing against the PT test, but I hear you, right? I mean, When bullets are flying, you're not doing as many push-ups as you can in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Understood. Now, Sergeant Major, you know, when you guys were training, okay, your style of training, getting ready for war, and then the training utilized for war, was it different than what you see today? I mean, the men and women of today's armed forces, conduct a lot of training prior to deployment. What was that scenario for you guys back then?
Well, it was all basically the same, but along with what the sergeant says, to me, repetitious is a bad word for a lot of people. But you do the push-ups every day, the pull-ups every day. You take the medical training, how you see a guy wounded, how to bandage it or whatever. And you say, well, I don't need this. You know, I'm looking at the sky or playing with my buddy or
right.
something. And you don't pay no attention, but I believe that both of these guys, the first time you go to combat and see a guy wounded and it's up to you to do something, you do it automatically. You don't think about it.
Right.
You go, I got to do this. And it's because you did it so many times to go, it just comes repeated to you.
Right.
You know,
muscle
you just
memory,
do it
I believe, is the phrase. Right.
You don't think about, hey, I got to do this or. You just like he says, grab the guy and throw him over his shoulder or put him on a door. One time we did this in Vietnam, me and a guy, we had a door and put a guy on it, and that's the way we got him back to the chopper.
Right.
So it's you just do them things so many times, you do it without thinking.
That's right.
So I think that our training was basically the same as theirs.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, Corporal, you recently has just redeployed, all right, within the last couple months.
Yes.
Now, and you guys were over in Regional Command East, RC East of Afghanistan, okay, and your guys' mission was to train and assist our Afghan National Army partners and our Afghan National Army police. And with that, I mean, the training that went into that type of deployment, what were some of the things that you guys conducted?
Well, I was actually part of a PRT.
PRT.
Provincial Reconstruction Team.
Nice.
So about a month prior to deploying, we went to Camp Atterbury, Indiana.
Nice.
And all of our training was just strictly based on securing these guys that were going to go out here and be conducting the meetings. So that's what we did for about the first month. The month prior before we deployed.
So again, train as we fight. You know, train for the mission that you're going to be doing, and for an entire month is the time that you guys have vested in that. And with that, I mean, you're out there in Indiana. I mean, did you guys just like sleep in all the time too? I mean, did you guys not do any PT?
No, we actually did do PT.
Nice.
They had a good gym over there for us. We went to that, and our training. You know, we went to the field for about 3 days out of the week. And we actually had the same guys that were going to be conducting the meetings over there in Afghanistan with us. They would have a scenario set up for us, and they would go in, conduct the meetings with the Op 4, and we would be outside pulling security.
Op 4, opposing forces. Absolutely. Now, Top, you know, could you list some of your deployments that you've done with the Rakhisons?
Yeah, I've done 2005, 2006, Iraq, 2007, 2008, Iraq.
Where in Iraq?
In 05, we started off in Beji, and then after they bombed the mosque in Samarra, we moved down to Baghdad, where I was a 1-3 cav at the time, and where we were at Camp Rustamaya, and then from there, my troop, the rest of the squadron stayed in Baghdad. My troop went to Taji, and then the whole squadron. Then we moved up to Tikrit. We're up at Fob Spiker, and then we did a 10-day op out towards Tartar Lake, and then we were supposed to redeploy and go home. So we had actually turned all our stuff in, and vehicles ready. I mean, everything ready to go. And then they're like, "Hey, you guys need to go up to Talifar." So then we
amazing
GAC, ground assault combat at Talifar, and so that tour we bounced, and we were all around. And then in 2007-2008 we were. I was at Cop Corregidor, which is just kind of south of Baghdad. It was the exact same area where Strike was in their 0506 deployment. That's kind of the footprint the Rakhisons fell in that time.
Right, the
Mohammadiyah Yousafiya.
Triangle of Death.
Yep, the TOD, yeah.
Right.
We called it at the time the Triangle of Boredom because it wasn't that tour. There just really wasn't a lot going on. Yeah, you know, now it's
that's good
because I was on the road a lot. And then 2010, Afghanistan, where, you know, RC East again, where. my troop, we had a cop called Cop Spiro, which is kind of right on the host Paktika border, and right on the Pakistan border also. And then the squadron itself was at Camp Clark, which is kind of in the bull. And then, obviously, you know, Brigade Headquarters was at Camp Salerno. And then this last Afghan tour, which was I was at Salerno the whole time. So
now, as for training for those fights, okay, I mean, you guys go to a place called JRTC, the Joint Readiness Training Center, in Fort Polk, Louisiana. Okay, now this type of training is kind of like... They're trying to put you in that situation that you're going to be in, that type of environment with trained actors and real life scenarios. I mean, how effective was is JRTC for you guys as you deploy?
I'll be honest with you, the main thing, you know, one, it depends where you're deploying,
right.
But JRTC, no matter what, JRTC is good training. There are just some things you can't replicate. For example, you can't replicate terrain, so you can't put mountains down in Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Right.
You know, so the Army does a great job of replicating what it can, and if you go down there now, I mean, it's the way the villages are set up. It's absolutely incredible. Like if it wasn't for honestly the vegetation and the terrain, the villages look just like an Afghan village. I mean, and to see it go from, you know, Iraq to transition to more focus in Afghanistan, to see how JRTC's changed, it's really incredible. I mean, because they put a lot of money into it. They get, you know, people from different movie studios to come down, and I mean I'm not gonna lie, it is great training. Now, but again, there's just some things you can't replicate. You know, elevation, terrain, that type thing. So you do the best you can with what you have, and you know, like Sergeant Major was saying, you know, repetition. You know, all the live fires and all that. All it's great training, and the Army, you know, in my opinion, has done just an outstanding job of getting us as prepared as we can for combat. In you know, in lieu of actually you know doing combat prior to, you know, you got to draw on a lot of your previous deployment experiences. You know, so that's where when you have a lot of leaders that kind of manage to, you know, kind of avoid the bullet of when they get back from a deployment having a PCS or maybe get out of the Army. You know, if you can kind of stalk your unit, you know, and keep those guys around with the experience, that also helps along the way. Also,
speaking of stalking the unit, you guys can stalk the unit by going to the Rakusan Facebook page, okay? You go to your Facebook, and in the search box, you type in 3rd BCT 101, and it'll pop up, all right? Type in Rakusan, and it'll pop up, all right? And let me tell you, this page is great, because it has, what we were talking earlier about that PT and everything, that physical training, it's got all those pictures, it's got all the events coming up. Speaking of events coming up, too, you guys have, and Sergeant Major, you guys have a Rakusan 187th Airborne Regimental Combat Team Association Tory Chapter Christmas party coming up.
Yes.
You guys party, you guys are party monsters, right?
Oh, yeah. It's Santa Claus and all that stuff will be there. It's you got the dates and everything.
Absolutely. It's the annual party Christmas party at the Tory Chapter 187th ARCT, which is on December 5th, okay? And that will be at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 4895, which is behind the Publix.
Yes.
Right, behind the Publix,
yes.
Over there in Clark.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, what... Now, before we go to break here, okay, and Sergeant Major, you guys, and this is no disrespect at all, back in the day, all right, you guys didn't have the amount of equipment that they patrol with, that they train with. I mean, what do you see, what do you feel when you see today's and tomorrow's Rakusans when they're training and they're out there and they got all this equipment on, and then when you were in it, you did not have such body armor. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. When I go out, you know, to observe with the battalions and the companies, sometime they're training, it's like watching Star Wars. In some
Yeah. Days,
they've got so much equipment, the electronic equipment.
Right.
I remember when I was the first sergeant, you know, you run everything out of with a little notebook, and you was lucky to get a telephone, you know, and... these guys, everybody's got a smartphone in their pocket.
That's right.
It's fascinating. I don't know. and it takes, I think, the first sergeant and I was talking about it in lunch today. The younger guys, you know, they're just progressed so much in electronic equipment. It's fascinated what they're doing.
Yeah. They love Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah.
They love it.
Oh, yeah, one more thing I wanted to say before I forget it. They was talking about JRTC.
Right.
Well, the brand new, the latest command sergeant major of JRTC is Sergeant Major Eric Crabtree.
Oh, wow.
And he was the latest 3rd Brigade Sergeant Major.
Absolutely.
And he's down there right now.
Command Sergeant Major Eric Crabtree, former Sergeant Major of 1187, then former Brigade Sergeant Major of 3rd Brigade, and now Command Sergeant Major of Joint Readiness Training Center.
And I think he had 6 or 7 deployments with the 187.
Absolutely.
He's probably the only one that's got more than the first sergeant here.
Let me tell you, that is an amazing man, and I was fortunate enough to see him on the battlefield in southern Afghanistan during 2010-11, and we're going to take a break, but we're going to get into the history of the Rakhisans, okay? We're going to chronologically just go through the chart, okay? We're going to go from the start and talk about each of the endeavors and their rendezvous with destiny throughout the year. So, let me tell you, this is going to be a good part of the show right here. Absolutely, you know? And before we do go, Corporal, what kind of smartphone do you got?
I have an iPhone 5S.
Okay, so you need to download the app Shoutcast so you can listen to Rendezvous Radio, okay, wherever you're out there on the phone. Sergeant Major's got the, what is this, the Captain Kirk communicator?
Yeah.
Look at this thing. Beam me down. Beam me up. Yeah, beam me up, Scotty. Yeah, it's Rendezvous Radio right here on WVRY 105.1 and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
Our friends at Franklin Street Florist have done something they haven't done in over 50 years. They have changed locations. Randy Harrison and Dickie Rye have moved to a much more convenient location on College Street. As you come down the hill on 3rd Street toward College Street, you will see Franklin Street Floors. Same name, different location, but the very same excellence you've grown to expect for over 50 years. They are full-service florist with worldwide delivery and flowers for all occasions. Call them at their new location at College and 3rd Street, or go by and see them in person. You can reach them at 931-647-3341. That's 647-3341. Or go to FranklinStreetFlorist.com. That's FranklinStreetFlorist.com.
Looking for a quality home at a reasonable price? Want to work with a local builder that wants to put you in the home of your dreams? Voted Parade of Homes winner in 2010, 2011, and 2012, Rita Home Builders specializes in making their customers' home ownership dream a reality. From foundation walls to custom finishes, Rita Home Builders is dedicated to building a home you will love at a price you can afford. Rita Home Builders. Visit them online at RitaHomeBuilders.com or call them at 931-920-4000.
What do you want when purchasing products to maintain your property? The highest quality? Hudson has it in the complete John Deere line. Convenience? Hudson has it in 8 convenient locations. Support? Hudson has it in a huge parts inventory and a large staff of highly trained technicians. Customer focus? Hudson is dedicated to being the leader in delivering customer satisfaction. All of this plus steel and Honda products. Hudson delivers.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Do you need ideas to drive your business forward? Think creative options with amazing results. Think Sites and Sutton Design and Marketing. We do it all. From design to television production and social media. Effective, affordable, and we do all the work for you. Drive your business forward. Call Sites and Sutton today at 931-905-2616 and schedule your free consultation. That's Sites and Sutton Design and Marketing in Clarksville. 931-905-2616. That's 931-905-2616.
At Charter Business, we appreciate business owners. The ones who stepped out on their own and put all their chips on one dream. Those passionate few who enjoy the thrill of opening the door, their own door, for business each morning. You didn't accept the status quo when you chose to be your own boss. You don't have to accept stale AT&T DSL left over from the last century now, or home phone service masquerading as true business phone. And that's why so many of you switch to Charter Business, to experience online power that crushes DSL, to harness real business-grade calling features, and to add that one missing element for your customers, HDTV. You're not a big box. You think outside the box. No wonder that little taste of victory is yours at the start of each new day. Get 30 megabit per second internet for just $55 a month when bundled. Call 855-741-3105 for Charter Business. Restrictions apply. Visit charterbusiness.com/offer for details.
Clarksville's only radio station for local news, talk, sports. WJZM Radio.
I'm PFC Vinoy with Headquarters Company 3rd Battalion Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Specialist Jeffrey Speck with 3187 Iron Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant Alfonso Richardson with 3187 Battalion Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Specialist David Bean with 3187 Iron Rock Sons, and you're listening to
Rendezvous. I'm Second Lieutenant Hadeen with Bravo Company 3187 Iron Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
3rd Brigade checking in. Rendezvous Radio. I love those shout-outs. Those are great. We're going to put together some nice production pieces with all that. Because, you know, not for nothing, the soldier, okay? The men and women who don the uniform, who put on the uniform. I mean, I have such respect for what they do, for what they offer. And First Sergeant mentioned earlier that they sign up, okay, knowing that war is inevitable. And what is it? The stat is 1%, less than 1% of the nation, serves its nation. That is an outstanding number. Man, but we are honored to relay their story. The story of the 1%ers. That's what we do here at Rockasan Radio. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Rendezvous Radio here at the Rockasan Hour. Wow. That's pretty. See that? The Rockasan's already taken over. That's what they do. All right? They come in and they just take over. I love it.
We already painted a Tory outside the stage.
Oh, no. That's another thing. The Tory, okay? And we're about to go into the history of the Rockasan's, okay? And we're going to address some of the accomplishments throughout the years, okay? Now, that Tory, okay? Sergeant Major, maybe you can explain why the Rockasan's have a Tory as their insignia.
Well, as most everybody knows, the 101st, most of their history is in Europe,
right,
during the Second World War. Well, the Rockasans, when they was activated in 1942, they was activated through many changes of being gliders and parachutists, and they deployed in the Second World War with the 11th Airborne Division. And then when they was the first Rockasans to be brought back to Japan, that had been occupied Japan in many years to conquer Japan,
right,
after the war.
Yeah.
And then they came back to the States, and they was organized finally as a regimental combat team, and they went to Korea. And the Tory is kind of a religious thing in Japan and those kind of things, and it used to be where the birds sit and everything, but they just took that as their motto, and Rockasans means upside down umbrellas.
Upside down umbrellas.
And that's what they called them.
And there it is, because coming down, they look like upside down umbrellas. Yeah. That's pretty good. Wow. And that's where the birds used to sit. I'm glad it wasn't telephone poles.
On the Tory.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. There it is. There is the story of the Tory. Oh, that rhymes. That's awesome. Thank you, Sergeant Major, for sharing that. Now, the 187th Infantry Regiment, okay, the Rockasans, is a regiment of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault of the United States Army, as we already know and established. Okay, its nickname is the Rockasan, is derived from the Japanese word, as we just found out from Sergeant Major retired. And you guys have been on and off the front lines and the battlefields all throughout World War II up until present day. Now, and that includes the Japanese theater and the Korean War, and then we got post Korean War and the air mobility. Now, and this leads into the Vietnam War and the helicopters. Now, Sergeant Major, this is when you joined, okay? During this time. Now, the use of helicopters, the original stages of helicopters, I mean, you got to see this for yourself, be born and grow?
Well, yes, in Vietnam. And, You know, we lost a lot of people over there, and all wars do, like Korea and stuff like that. But because of having helicopters, and the same thing I imagine in Afghanistan and Iraq, if you didn't have helicopter, you would lose a lot more people because they can get them, you know, immediately to a hospital or to aid by doctors and different things.
Right.
And firepower, you know, you can get on the radio and call and it be there right away. So helicopters is a great thing.
Right. Now with that, okay, you know, the helicopter, the staple of the 101st Airborne Division, air assault, okay? Now, we're going to be going into the air assault here, okay? Because I see air assault wings on everyone's chest. All right? And Sergeant Major's wearing a collared polo shirt, and he's still got some type of air assault wing on it. I love it. It's a beautiful thing. Now, the air assault school. Now, Corporal, you went to the air assault school?
Yes, I did.
Okay, when did you go?
In August of 2013, this year.
Nice. Congratulations on donning the wings, you know? What does it mean to you?
Well, they say it's the hardest 10 days in the Army.
Right.
So, It was fun. It was an experience. I was real excited. You learn a lot. You know, a lot of people that haven't been to that school just think it's all about rappelling, but it's more than that. You know, you actually learn a little bit of Pathfinder operations as well as sling load operations.
Right. And air assault missions being the most common used mission, you know, while in theater. I mean, it's and the 101st just takes it and runs with it. I love it. And I love it that the Rakasan goes like this. Yeah, they say it's the 10 hardest days in the Army. And it was fun. It was fun. That was awesome. Now, Top, when did you get your wings?
I'm not even lying to you. A little more than 2 weeks ago, I finally went to school.
Awesome. So. And what does it mean to put those wings on, being a part of the Screaming Eagles?
I mean, it means a lot. I mean, I've been here almost a decade, and really, honestly, the focus has been, you know, you're downrange for a year, 15 months, you're back, and then you're training up because you're already on deployment orders to go again, and so... You know, for me, it really took, honestly, taking the diamond off before I had the time to go. But it's just one of those, you can't be in this division if you don't have your wings type things.
Right.
So, you know, for me, kind of having that monkey off my back, even though, you know, I've deployed four times with, you know, with this regimen and this division, I mean, just getting off my back and finally having it done it really is honestly a great experience. And you know, and like the boy there said, I mean, you really do learn a lot, and you see, I mean... Just the spectrum of soldiers you see that go through school, because I went through with a... There was a command sergeant major going through when I went through, and, you know, majors, and there's...
Did he make it?
And, oh, absolutely.
All right.
He did make it. All right. But just to see the spectrum of different soldiers that go through, and, you know, and I'm sure you were... You know, there was a story of that soldier who went through last year with a prosthetic. I mean,
yeah.
It's just one of those...
Sergeant First Class Greg Robinson.
Yeah, it's like...
Amazing.
It would be like being in the 82nd Airborne and not having your airborne...
Right.
It's kind of, you know, and division has such a big push right now, which is awesome. I mean, the amount of soldiers that were able to get through air assault school. Now, like, I haven't seen it in the decade that I've been in this division, and it's absolutely outstanding, and I hope we can just keep getting them pushed through, because it's something that we really need. Yeah, I mean, it's our tradition, and
right?
we need to...
The division is currently looking for 70% of the division to be air assault qualified.
Yes.
Outstanding. I love it, and I commend them with that push. Absolutely. Sergeant Major, when did you get yours?
Like I told you before, I went to jump school here with the 11th Airborne Division, and it was down in the same area where the old airborne air assault school was. They moved it down the road now. But about 20 years later, I came back here and was a brigade sergeant major, and I walked in, reported to the colonel, and he told me, he said, excuse me, Sergeant Major, I see you hadn't been to air assault school. And I said, no, sir. He said, well, you and I are going Monday.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was a little over 20 years ago that I graduated down there. And like the first sergeant told you, I wasn't a sergeant major. Well, I wasn't a sergeant major, but me and the colonel, he was a full bird colonel. And me and him was number one. The only thing we didn't do different, we didn't have a number on our helmet.
Right.
He was the first one that repelled, the first one that did anything.
That's right.
He was first and I was second.
That's what I'm talking
about. And everything that went on. But it was an outstanding 7 or 8 days at that time. We started Monday and graduate Friday afternoon. But I'm proud to wear them now, and it was pretty hard.
That's right. No one can ever take them away.
No, it was over 20 years ago.
Man, and, that's amazing.
Yep.
Corporal, toughest day, toughest part of air assault school.
Day one, you're
Yes.
Your layout. That's probably the toughest thing. And not even
four in the morning.
Not even really that. It's hard. You just hear all the stories about, oh, you know, this is what gets everybody kicked out. So you're just nervous, because I know me. My biggest fear was going back to my unit without my airsoft wings.
Right. Toughest day. Was it the road march?
It's not that the road march is tough. It's I'm older, so with me, there's a lot more mental stuff for me.
Right.
You know, and for me, it's you know, I don't ever want to be the last guy. You know, and so in that sense, you know, age is an excuse. You know, but I'm a realist too. I realize that I can't be the first. So kind of stay in the middle of the pack. But probably that last day, just because, like, if you're not prepared, if you don't do the things you're supposed to do, if you don't check your pack list to make sure that everything's in there, because you know they check it after the road march. If you don't hydrate, if you don't eat right, if you don't get as much sleep as you can because you start early. I mean, those are the things that can stop you from getting your wings. So
mine was the graduation portion. Okay, you're standing there for like 2 hours. All right, and my legs, like, I need more coffee. You know what I mean? But we're about to take a break here. Okay, and the Rock-a-Son portion. Okay, of the show was so informative, okay, and you guys bring so much to the table. You guys, and to have yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's Rock-a-Son just sitting right here and talking and hanging out. I wish that can happen more often, you know, and that can happen more often, and that is by keeping in contact and not losing your battle buddy's information, okay, and then. Like what you do, Sergeant Major, you visit today's soldiers. You know, you stay informed, you stay in touch, and that is a. And by you doing that, now our tomorrow's Rock-a-Son, okay, Corporal over here, he sees this and he goes, I'm going to continue that tradition, and I'm going to go see the Rock-a-Sons when I'm older and retired. And for that, thank you. Thank you for continuing the lineage and carrying on the torch here, you know, and places like big names like Hamburger Hill, okay, associated with the Rock-a-Sons, and all of Afghanistan, the initial invasion, and then the big Kandahar push. I mean, The Rock-a-Sons have such a lineage, and to see that all right in front of me is it's humbling, and I appreciate you guys coming in here today and telling your story. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, Sergeant Major, final word?
Like Air Assault School, I was talking to the Major the other day, and she's getting prepared to go to Air Assault School. And so,
Stacey Hopwood, Major Stacey Hopwood's going to Air Assault School.
And you asked her. I told her she was worried about the runs,
right?
And I told her one thing going along with the first sergeant says: she can't be first, she can't be second. But always remember, and I used to do a lot of running. You want to walk down? I mean, run up the hills and walk down them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't never reverse it.
Ma'am, you want to go practice outside during the break? Me and you, we'll run up the hills and we'll walk down them.
I already did a official road march this morning. Where were you at?
That's what I was pouring coffee. I was making coffee this morning.
Okay.
I was making coffee. But again, Rock-a-Son panel, thank you for joining us today. And I appreciate you guys coming in here and relaying the Rock-a-Son story to the listening audience. Man, fantastic times. Don't go nowhere. We got more 101st Fort Campbell guests coming in right here on Rendezvous Radio, 105.1 WVRY and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
It's like holding on to a glass of water. The weight of the glass doesn't change, but the longer you hold on to it, the heavier it gets.
Nearly 4 million people every year are affected by domestic violence. Help provide strength to both the men and women who don't have it. No more silence. Help paint Fort Campbell purple and support National Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Clarksville's only radio station for local news, talk, sports. WJZM Radio.
Quarters Company, 101st Cap.
Sergeant David Romero, I'm with 6101 GSAT, you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Pilot First Class Samuel Morris, Delta Company 6101 Cab, you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Rendezvous Radio! Man, smells like Rock-a-Son in here. That's what I'm talking about. And that's a good smell, by the way. Man, that was fantastic. You know, sitting down and having yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's Rockasans come in here and be like, yeah, yeah, you know, it's what an honor and a tradition that is just passed along through the years. And proof was given that today with Command Sergeant Major retired, First Sergeant, and a Corporal. But now sitting in studio, okay, Rendezvous Radio, the fastest 2 hours in radio, okay? The second hour is dedicated to the Fort Campbell Garrison side of Fort Campbell. And with that, we have a familiar voice to the show, Stacy.
Hey, hey.
Stacy Rozepka of Blanchfield Army Community Hospital.
Bach is back to talk about Warrior Care Month. We're excited.
Warrior Care Month. What is Warrior Care Month?
Warrior Care Month. Well, you know, medical care has gotten a lot better in the last few decades.
Nice.
And we've got a lot more soldiers who come home these days from these wars. You got a lot of soldiers who come home with injuries, war wounds. You also have a lot of soldiers who may have typical illnesses, cancers, MS. So we've got a special battalion at Fort Campbell called the Warrior Transition Battalion, and it is dedicated to helping soldiers heal. So if soldiers have complex medical needs, and they're going to need some care for more than 6 months or so, they actually get assigned to a special unit where they get to come concentrate on healing. That is their job day in and day out.
Nice. So, well, you know, not for nothing, it needs to be the focus. You know what I mean? An effective soldier needs to be a healthy soldier.
Absolutely.
Okay? And when was the WTB introduced?
Around 2008. 2007, sorry.
Right, 2007. And with that, I mean, all these deployments going on. And you know, and of course, we know that the 101st is on the front lines of the battles, you know. And with that comes many deployments and many stressful environments is where soldiers are put into. And when they come home, I'm so glad to hear that there is a type of transitional battalion and a unit that is able to care to the needs and focus on the rehabilitation of soldiers. And with that, we have two members. Well, actually, one member currently with the WTB, and that is Specialist Rosario. Hey, how you doing? All right,
I'm fine. How are you?
Let me tell you, what a day! You know, what a day. now you're new to the unit. You just got in.
Yes.
Where were you prior to?
I was in 96 HSV.
Nice, nice. Now with the unit, okay. And what is your current unit?
My current unit is WTB, the battalion.
Right.
Right now, because I'm in transition to go to Charlie Company.
Charlie Company. Within the Warrior Transition Battalion.
Yes.
Nice. Now, how many companies are within the Warrior Transition Battalion?
Three
companies. Now, that's the voice of Sergeant William McNeil. Okay. How you doing, Sergeant? All right?
Good. How about you?
Another beautiful day, you know, especially since you guys are in here. You know what I mean? And Stacy, you smell fantastic, by the way. I know it's radio.
I thought it smelled like Rakasan in here.
No. It did. It did. And then all of a sudden, Bach. I love it. Sergeant William McNeil, okay, you were formerly in the Warrior Transition Battalion, and now you have rehabilitated completely and back to your original unit?
No, I'm actually cadre at WTB now.
Cadre now. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Man, that's awesome. Now with that, okay, how many different companies are within the WTB?
There's three. There's Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie. And you, of course, you have your in-processing company, which is HHC.
Right.
Where I'm at.
Okay, awesome. And the facility is located right inside of Fort Campbell, right in the heart of Fort Campbell, right?
Right.
And what address is that? Is that the...
HHC is on Desert Storm.
Okay.
Building 6736 Desert Storm Avenue.
Awesome. And with that, I mean, the personnel that are involved with the Warrior Transition Battalion, I mean, is it effective? Does it work? I mean, as a man that went through it and is now cadre there, what are some of your thoughts?
I think it works very well. I was a Rakasan formerly.
Nice.
I medevaced out of country 2010.
Oh, all right. And you guys, that was RC East.
Right.
Okay.
Paktika Province, actually. I was medevaced out, brought back to the Warrior Transition Battalion in the very beginning of October 2010. I had spinal reconstruction surgery November 15th of 2010, and then it took until December of 2011 to where I was back functioning fine. I had an interview with a sergeant major because my only work site was with WTB while I was there. I worked for the guys at HHC. The first sergeant's like, hey, look, we'd like to have you cadre. Would you like to do it? I'd love to because this program works.
Right.
So
Right. And now you get to contribute more to that effective program.
Oh, yes.
That is awesome. What's your roles and duties as a cadre of the WTB?
All right. My role, I'm a squad leader at HAC. All right. What I do is I help facilitate, for the most part, their medical appointments. If they got any little personal problems that we can help with, we'll do what we can to get them where they need to be, make sure their families are good. And truly, it's just to help them rehabilitate, to understand that you're not the only one with a problem. You know, we've all had problems, especially me. I've been through it both sides. So I see what they're going through. I know what they're going through when they're frustrated. It's, you kind of have to be a friend, too.
Right.
You still have a role to play.
You're not alone. You know,
no.
You're not alone. You have battle buddies to your left and to your right.
Yes.
And that is, I think, one of the main missions of WTB, let alone, of course, the rehabilitation, but to ensure that, hey, you know, we're here. You know, we're together. We're a family. We got this. Now, do you get that feeling, Rosario, now being a part of the unit there?
Yes, actually, for me, for example, you know, with all the problems that you get after you get deployed or whatever and transition to a new unit like I did in 96, they discovered that I have problems in my back, and they were very, very fast. They're very professional. And like my First Sergeant Radabal, that's the HAC over there, he helped me a lot to go with them. When I changed with them, all my stress, all my small problems, because everybody had problems, went down a little bit by little by little. I've been with them for so short time, and I feel completely relaxed. I can interact with my kids, for example.
Yeah.
You know, that I can do it before.
Right. Now, your day, I mean, what does it look like, your typical day? Is it appointments and everything? I mean, we're gonna go to a break, but let's get into what is the normal day, or I guess the day-to-day duties of a Warrior Transition Battalion soldier? Because, you know, I mean, Bach is a very busy place, and I'm sure there are so many programs out there and so many facilities available to soldiers that are in need of being, you know, taken care of. But with that, we're going to go to break. But when we get back, and yes, Stacy, it does smell like Stacy, all right? What is that? What is it?
Probably Burberry. Hopefully not Rock-A-Son.
Rock-A-Son sounds like a... Sergeant Mac.
Well, they tried to say that they stink.
Yeah, no, I'm saying... No, I'm not saying they stink. Oh, they're listening right now. They're turning around, okay? And I'm going to be put in the parade rest position, okay? This is terrible. All right, but hey, don't go nowhere, all right? We're hanging out with some great people from Bach and the Warrior Transition Battalion right here on Rendezvous Radio, WJZM 1400 AM and 105.1 WVRY. Absolutely.
Clarksville's only radio station for local news, talk, sports, WJZM Radio.
I'm Staff Sergeant John Briggs with the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, and this is your Rock-A-Son update on Rendezvous Radio. 1187 3187 Infantry Regiments and 133 Cavalry Regiment have concluded their team live fire exercises and have continued to move forward to squad and platoon level training. 133 recently headed to Fort Knox, Kentucky to execute a gunnery exercise where they are currently engaged in this training. Forward observers and fire support teams throughout the brigade recently completed their certification, culminating in the situational training exercise testing the skills they learned during the 7-week course. While the 5th certification was being conducted, 3320th was busy training, certifying, and qualifying their howitzer sections up to Table 6, which includes a live fire. 66th Brigade Support Battalion is putting the finishing touches on reset and restructuring the operation of the DFAC for better efficiency. 3rd Special Troops Battalion is focused on training the basics of their very different companies. One such example is the engineers at the demo range. The 101st Airborne Division recently held a Master Resiliency training course that the Rock-A-Sons heavily attended and constituted for a third of the participants. The brigade is focused on air assault school training, and since October 19th, 617 Rock-A-Sons have graduated. All throughout the brigade, soldiers are working hard to get the unit to the division standard of 70% air assault qualified. Units such as Dragon Company 1st Battalion and Battle Hard 3rd Battalion 187th Infantry Regiments leading the charge, achieving the Black Streamer of Excellence for reaching 80% of the unit being air assault qualified, presented by the Forcecom Commander, General Daniel Allen. Rock-A-Sons are leading the way, continuing to build strong teams and leaders as they await the call for their next rendezvous with destiny.
Yeah, air assault!
Cool.
Bada bing! But I don't know if we could go buy an air assault with bada bing. Does that
hey, you've been doing it for how many years?
Yeah, this is true. Hey, air assault, forget about it. But there was your Rock-A-Son update. I mean, Sergeant McNeil, you said you're a former Rakasan soldier, okay? I mean, hearing all that good stuff, I hear you, you know, I see you nodding your head and going, yep, yep. How, when your time with the Rakasans there, you know, some of the emotions, some of the brotherhood, maybe you can talk about it for a moment?
It's really close to a brotherhood. When you get really involved with a group you work with, you're constantly around them, especially when you're deployed. Rakasans look out for each other. You know, it's an old adage. You know, you say you hit one Marine, you got to fight all of them.
Right.
Same thing with the Rakasans.
Yeah, absolutely.
They all stand behind each other.
All right. Note to self, do not hit Rakasan. Okay, writing that down. Now, welcome back, Rendezvous Radio. Okay, that's thank you for Rakasan PAO, Major Stacy Hopwood and her team for putting together that update there and, yeah, helping tell the Rakasan and the Screaming Eagle story. Now, now with that, okay, we are telling the story today of the Warrior Transition Battalion, okay, and we have two representatives of it, and the one who brought them in, Stacy. Stacy, how you doing? All right.
Very good.
The
very
public
good.
Affairs specialist of the of Blanchfield Army Community Hospital. What are some of the pages and sites that the people can go to get some information?
Really, you can go to the Warrior Care or Warrior Transition Command website. I believe it's WTC.mil, but don't quote me on that. I'm sorry, but that's the main site, and that gives all the information about how the Warrior Transition Battalion started, what they're there for. Talks a little bit about how they get their specialized care. You know, I was actually talking to Specialist Rosario the other day. They get care that a lot of people don't know about. I don't know if you knew. Did you know that Fort Campbell soldiers can get chiropractic care?
Yeah.
You knew?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No, but how?
But, you know, just by talking to their primary care provider, Specialist Rosario actually goes to his nurse case manager and talks to them about pain management, and that's one of those ways that he can get his pain taken care of.
Man. So soldiers, okay, those active duty status,
active duty military,
can go to the Blanchfield Army Community Hospital, go to the front desk and go, my back needs a crack.
They might want to talk to their primary care manager first, but yeah,
man,
we've got a site where we've got full time chiropractors, and they use that in conjunction with other pain management theory. So we were just talking the other day about acupuncture. We actually offer acupuncture to soldiers to help with pain management.
You guys offer acupuncture?
Who knows about this stuff? Isn't that amazing?
I, you know, not for nothing. Okay, this is, like, very important information, and I'm glad that we're able to help spread that word. Now, we got a caller. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Larry. Thank you, Joe, and all those representatives of Rakasan there in your studio. I'm a rock.
The Rakasan story is just fantastic. Now, maybe you got a quick Rakasan story that you'd like to tell. Hello, are you there? Did we lose you?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the Rakasan and telling the story of, and the first hour of the show was telling the Rakasan story. You know, and what was maybe your favorite thing that you got out of that first hour listening to those the three Rakasans?
Well, everything that's involved with our community,
right?
Serving. I think you guys are presenting well. Thank you.
You know, that means a lot, and thank you, okay, not only just for saying thanks, but for taking part and participating in not for nothing, this isn't just a radio show, okay, this is an outlet and an avenue to provide information and to tell the story of the soldiers, and like what we're doing right now with Bach, I mean, here we are, we're finding out right now that soldiers have access to chiropractic work and acupunctures, you know, I mean, very, very important stuff to for the rehabilitation and maintaining of a healthy soldier, you know, and that is fantastic, and that is why it is an honor for us at the station here and for 101st and Fort Campbell and you, like yourself, you know, the participating audience to help relay that message.
Right. Actually, in the healthcare industry we do have here in America.
Yeah, understood, and I got to tell you, you know, I'm sitting here right now. Thanks for calling and keep on listening. And I got to tell you, you know, Rakasans, absolutely. Bada bing, bada boom. You know?
You guys rock. Thank you.
No, forget about it. But I got to tell you, you know, speaking of healthy soldiers, okay? Now, right here, sorry, what is your timeline like? What are you doing right now to help, become a what you consider a healthy and fully functional soldier once again? Not saying that you're not functional, just
Well, we're still functional.
Right.
The thing is, my day starts in WTU like this. You know, I report, first of all, to my squad leader, Sayan Mag or Sayan Tar.
Right.
He's not here right now. After that, I have so many appointments starting at 8. Sometimes I can go to the formation, sometimes not. But it's helped me a lot because they have so many information. They have so much things that you don't know when you're in a regular unit.
Yeah.
And they help you. No matter what, they're there for you. It's not like when you're in regular unit, you tell your squad leader, hey, I need to do this. Oh, but they have to go direct to the chain of command. They're still doing it here, but they're directly with you. If you have a problem, they act quickly.
Right, right, right. Very very personal and focused on the individual.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, Sergeant Mack, your first day when you were assigned to the WTB, okay, what were some of your thoughts? I mean, were you upset to be there? Were you designed to, like, no, I don't need sick call, okay? Because I understand that is a wrong mentality to have, and please, your thoughts.
The first day I got to WTB, I got back on a Saturday. They told me to report at such and such a building on Monday. I think that's the angriest I've ever been in my life.
Right.
I didn't need your help. Fix me. Let me go. Let me get back to my unit and do what I need to do.
Right.
I fought it probably 3 weeks till I finally, they told me when I was going to have a surgery date, so that kind of eased me off a little bit. But it was hard to understand somebody actually wanted to help you, was there no matter whatever you needed, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All I had to do was pick up my phone, call my squad leader. Hey, Sergeant Davis, I got a problem. All right, well, let's fix it. And it wasn't a we'll see or we'll look into. No, it's let's go fix it. You're going to get an answer one way or the other. You may not like the answer, but you're going to get it.
Right. And knowing, okay, is so much more comforting than just guessing, okay, and not knowing and being in the dark. Now with that, I mean, so what were some of the procedures that you had to go through as a member in the Warrior Transition Battalion?
Well, you have to go through, there's a bunch of classes we do at HHC, which is, you do your in brief with the battalion commander and the sergeant major. They tell you what they expect. You're still a soldier, so you still have to follow the rules.
Of course.
You go through your educational benefit briefs, your financial briefs. There is so much information that we have and so many sources to get things from to help you, your family, or whatever needs you have. That we explain that to you, and sometimes there's so much we will forget a thing or two here or there. But if somebody asks, it's like, oh yeah, hold on, I got you an answer. Let's do it this way, and it works out well for everybody that goes through the program that I've ever seen. I've had 200 soldiers that were mine that have been through there in the past 2 years, and I've never had one of them come back with a problem.
Right.
Hey, you didn't help me. I've never heard that. I don't think any of us down there have ever heard that before.
Rosario?
No, they really act quickly. And I give them advice for any soldier who's come to WTU. Be open. Talk to them. Don't feel afraid like you do in your unit. Because if you get with your mouth shot, they can help you.
Right. It's like the other way around. When you don't get full information, you know, exactly, then you get frustrated. So at the other end of the spectrum, if you don't provide information, they're going to get frustrated.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Communication's a beautiful thing. Hence radio. Forget about it. All right. Stacey, how you doing? All right.
Hey, I wanted to just mention, too, you know, they've talked a lot about the recovery, the care, but I also wanted to mention one of the beautiful things about the WTB that you guys might be able to speak to, which is transition.
Oh, yeah.
So a big part of what the WTB does is get soldiers ready to transition either back to the force or out into the civilian community as an honored veteran.
Transition.
Coming up on Veterans Day here. And,
right.
You know, I think Specialist Rosario, he's only been at the WTU about 3 weeks, a little over. He's already got a good transition goal. That's amazing.
You know, you mentioned transition, okay? You mentioned progression, okay? The healing process, all right? Mm-hmm. And it works. And we have the effects of it sitting here in the studio. And we're going to go to break here, but when we get back, okay? I want to talk about the living quarters of the WTB. Brand new facility, pretty much. Nice place.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the healing process, you know? I mean, having a facility that is able to provide standard of living that is comfortable and enables healing. And we're going to get into that when we get back. But you mentioned Veterans Day, Stace.
Yes.
Okay. Veterans Day is coming up Monday, right?
Monday,
right. And this Sunday, okay, at the Titans game, Titans versus Jaguars, kickoff is at 12, I believe. I'm not sure anymore with daylight savings time. I never understood that silly thing. But with that, I mean, there's going to be about 3,100 first soldiers reenlisting right before kickoff. Eight of them are going to be Rakusans. Eight of them. Isn't that great?
And it's such a sight, too, to see when they get out there, they reenlist. I'm guessing they're going to do that giant American flag again.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks so cool.
Oh, it's
so
amazing.
You got to check that out. If you're not there, you need to watch it on TV. It's amazing.
Yeah, if you're not there, okay, I don't know. Just go there, okay? Just go there, all right? Don't make us say something stupid here, all right? Just go there. All right, but when we get back, more with Stacy and Sergeant and Specialist with the WTB and our Bach friends right here on WJZM 1400 AM and 105.1 FM WVRY. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly. WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Private Zachary Clauser, 561st Military Police Company, Rendezvous Radio.
Here, AFC, Tisha Lewis, 101st Sniper. If you're listening to Rendezvous Radio, Lifeliner, 8-1-4.
Yeah, the shout-outs coming from the party. That was pretty good. That's like a, yeah, hey, how's it going? We're all around the radio. So welcome back. Welcome back to the show. We're having a good time here today. You know, first hour dedicated to the Rakusans. Second hour, we're hanging out with Blanchfield Army Community Hospital and the Warrior Transition Battalion. And not for nothing, man, there's some great information here, okay? Already we found out that, hey, there is a program for soldiers that need to be healed. That there is a battalion for those soldiers that is dedicated to and focused on, and their mission is to make sure that the soldier is able to get back onto back to its returning unit, you know, or a supporting unit, you know. And then with that, we also found out that soldiers are, and it doesn't matter if you're a part of the WTB or another unit that's out there, if you need a chiropractor, if you need acupuncture, all right. What else do they got, Stace?
We got a little everything. You know, when you talk pain management, we're looking at Tai Chi, yoga.
Tai Chi?
Yes.
It's my favorite menu item at the sushi bar.
But, you know, when you think about pain, you think about somebody like Specialist Rosario. You've got back pain every day?
Almost every day, yes.
You've got to kind of manage that pain so you can have a good quality of life. If you're feeling pain constantly and you can't get past it, how are you going to enjoy life?
Right. So, your focus is on that pain.
Exactly. So you look at a combination of maybe medication, maybe yoga, maybe chiropractic, maybe acupuncture needles in your ear. Who knows?
Rosario, what's your favorite yoga?
I never took yoga. With, nah,
strawberry. It's a very good one.
Strawberry?
I know. No, the yoga's good stuff, actually. And all this stuff, all of these opportunities, mm-hmm. okay, for the soldiers, okay, how much does it cost them?
Cost them nothing.
A
little bit, but
they've earned it.
Soldiers earn it.
They've earned it. Okay,
absolutely.
It's all part of the program. Mm-hmm. And where could they access this? Is it all at Blanchfield Army Community Hospital?
Blanchfield, just go through your primary care manager. You don't have to be in the WTB to access this type of care. If you've got pain, talk to your primary care manager about pain management. We've got a lot of options out there.
Yeah, and it's all a state-of-the-art facility. It's real nice. Unlike your office, which is like an old World War II building.
It is. You kind of wonder about it sometimes.
Yeah.
Is it going to go in the next big wind?
You know,
so far, so good, though.
Oh, that explains you why you're always outside with that fan, okay? That's pretty good, Stace. But speaking of state-of-the-art, okay, the facilities at the Warrior Transition Battalion assigned soldiers, their housing, okay, is top of the line. New, just built. Maybe you can explain a little bit on the house.
Well, personally, I don't live in the barracks per se, but I've been there before, and they have great rooms, you know, it's like for people with wheelchairs or whatever, they have, you know, their special rooms for them.
Right.
And they have regular rooms for the people who are transitioning to get out of the Army.
Right, absolutely. And right. Sergeant Mack, you're were you in a room?
No, but we do barracks inspections every Tuesday morning.
Right, as now that you are now former assigned soldier to Warrior TB, mm-hmm. now you are a member of a cadre.
Yes.
Okay, and with your barracks inspections, are you impressed with what is provided for the Warrior Transition soldiers?
Yes, I am. It is extremely nice. They've got free cable TV, free internet. They've got their own room. If it's a wheelchair-accessible room or handicap access room, they have their own bathroom in their room.
Right.
Otherwise, you and your neighbor share a bathroom, but you have...
Like a common area?
A common area.
Right.
Full kitchen. And then you got a washer and dryer in your own room.
Man.
And that's great.
So,
well, I mean, it's good. And I'm sure there's, you know, how come we don't get that? Listen, I mean, this is designed, all right, to provide as much ease and comfort during their healing process as possible, all right? And with that, I mean, like, do you find that it works that for these soldiers? What are some of the testimonies that you have heard personally?
Well, if you look at the room situation what some of these guys go through, they go from their old barracks to where it's a little bitty cramped space, or maybe the heat doesn't work sometimes, the air doesn't work sometimes.
Right, and don't get me wrong, you know, standard of living at today's barracks in Fort Campbell are up to par, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I'm
but
just saying.
As a man that used to be in the barracks, I hear you, okay,
The only way I meant that was, if you think about it, anything electrical is going to go bad.
Absolutely.
If it happens to break down.
Right.
With ours, we rarely have any type of issue because it's so new.
Right.
It's
new.
Everything's new in there.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys like it because you can go in your room, and you normally don't hear your neighbor. You got to keep your room clean, just like any other barracks.
That's right.
Keep your kitchen, a little common area clean. You share a bathroom most of the time, but the bathrooms are about as big as this studio.
That's pretty good. And
yeah.
Let me tell you, and speaking of the barracks, okay, all right, and this is a quick PSA, all right? Clean your barracks. Okay. Clean your barracks.
Good advice.
All right. Fold your clothes. Pick them off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Do some sweeping, mopping. All right. And not for nothing, clean the inside of your microwave, too. All right. It's disgusting.
Clean the toilets.
There's your PSA for the day.
You know, talking about the WTB barracks, you think about their location.
Right.
You know, that's one of the best things about it is we've got the WTB, their barracks, their leadership, all co-located right across the street from the hospital. And just in between those is the Soldier and Family Assistance Center, which is a one-stop shop with all of the services that soldiers need, like education advisors.
Financial advisors.
Financial, absolutely.
They have a HUA program in there, which is the...
activities.
Healing outside of a hospital.
That's it.
Healing
Good
outside
job,
of a hospital.
Stacey.
Man, Army loves acronyms.
Yeah.
HUA.
They do hunting and fishing trips. They do all kind of stuff, and it's all paid for.
Right, and it's all designed
soldiers.
To be part of that healing process.
Get your mind straight.
Now, how do you get around to all of these appointments and everything? I mean, you guys have to walk, I guess, right?
No, we don't.
See that setup?
We don't have to.
See that setup for the bus?
Pure setup. We have a full bus system that runs constantly. It will take you to all your appointments. If you live off post but you're not able to drive, we can set up to where they'll come pick you up, bring you to your appointments.
Right.
Or if you have appointments in Nashville, like some of them do, I did.
Right.
They'll pick you up.
Where at? Vanderbilt or?
Mine was at Baptist.
Okay.
And they'll take you up there. When you're done, they'll be waiting on you when you leave and bring you back to Fort Campbell. And, you know, sometimes the squad leaders will take you. If you really need to get there and there's no other way right now, we'll stop what we're doing and take you where you need to be.
Man, the Warrior Transition Battalion, making it happen. Okay, because not for nothing. You know, we make jokes and everything and we make it fun. But I got to tell you, you know, to stress the importance of ensuring that our soldiers returning home, okay, have a facility and a place where they can rehabilitate and become once again a fully healed, you know, individual, okay, and not have to focus on that pain that we were talking about earlier. Just, you know, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to have to focus on pain. And I'm so happy to hear that. At Fort Campbell, there is a place where returning warriors and heroes can come and be like, yeah, I'm going to not be focusing on pain much longer. That is comforting, absolutely. And we're going to go to break here, but when we get back, we got the Fort Campbell Courier come in. You guys know the Fort Campbell Courier?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I mean, you guys read it, right? I mean,
yes, we do.
You can get your Fort Campbell Courier at the Warrior Transition Battalion, okay, barracks. They actually have a butler that brings it to you. It's pretty
impressive.
But, again, thank you so much for coming in here and sharing your story. Specialist Rosario, amazing, and I wish you luck with your current condition. I see you smile, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, I'm going to my big success when I get out.
Right, absolutely.
They help you a lot.
That's what I'm talking about. And Sergeant Mack, of course, you thank you for coming in and explaining what happened to you and how you were able to combat that. And then your heart goes, hey, let me give back, okay? Yes. Let me contribute back by being a cadre and providing that avenue and lane of help to someone else now.
You're right.
Bada bing.
Thanks, sir.
Oh, absolutely. Nice to meet you, sir. And Stacy, always a pleasure. Thank you for providing such information that is helpful to the soldier and the soldier family.
Well, thank you for letting us come in for Veterans Day, for Warrior Care Month. We really appreciate it.
No, and appreciate you wearing that Rakusan perfume. That's very, very good. But hey, don't go nowhere. We're going to be hanging out with Rick from the Fort Campbell Courier right here on Rendezvous Radio, WJZM 1400 AM and WVRY 105.1 FM. Absolutely.
I'm Specialist Blackman with 563rd 159 CAB Fighting, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm PFC Taylor with 563rd 159 CAB Fighting, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Welcome back. Royalty free music. Yeah, that's the voice of Rick. Rick Rozepka, you are the Fort Campbell Courier editor.
I am.
Okay, and I like this. I like this reoccurring, we're ending the show in the last 15 minutes, yeah. and let's promote the Fort Campbell Courier paper from this week.
Okay, let's do it. Big week this week with the UFC fight.
Oh, yes.
Tim Kennedy smashed Natal.
How cool was that?
Not broken.
For Natal, but...
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
No, it was great to see a U.S. Army Green Beret step in the ring, surrounded by Screaming Eagle soldiers and spouses, and the crowd was just ecstatic.
And they did such a professional job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I only got a chance to watch it from TV,
yeah.
But as a guy that was in there, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, what was it like, with the big key players interacting with the soldiers? And,
Dana
tell
White.
Us about it.
Oh, Dana White, president of the UFC, he was just up there mingling with soldiers, getting his photo taken with them, signing autographs. The fighters were phenomenal. I mean, they were down in the crowd interacting, taking photos, and everyone, it was so great because everyone kept saying, hey, we're doing this for you. We're going to put on a war for you because you go to war for us.
Right.
It was phenomenal.
I mean, like a very, very humbling moment, not just for the soldiers themselves, but from the, the performers and the fighters. I mean,
yeah,
their words, wow. Very cool.
Yeah, it was phenomenal, Joe. I wish you could have been there, man.
I tried to sneak in, and I got beat up. They had one of the guys on guard, and he took care of me.
Yeah, well, they took security pretty seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Understood. Understood. Now, with that, that's your front page story.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then local Veterans Day activities honor past and present soldiers.
Yeah, this weekend we've got quite a bit of things going on in the local communities. Hopkinsville's got their parade on Saturday, I believe. Clarksville's got their parade on Saturday where you can see the Screaming Eagle Color Guard and the band and some soldiers marching in that parade.
And for this one...
Monday, Nashville's got the biggest, massive. Yeah.
I mean, if you're around Monday, okay? Monday is the official day for Veterans Day.
Yes, sir.
All right. November 11th, and we all know why, the 11th. In World War One, that's when they...
Armistice Day.
There it is.
The 11th hour.
On the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month. Man.
That's right.
I mean, you think they timed that?
They got lucky.
Yeah, I mean?
It was just like, whatever.
Like some marketer comes running in and goes, hold on.
Right.
Let's wait one more day.
Some PAO.
PAO.
sir, I got a great idea.
Sir. That's terrible.
I know.
But Fort Campbell Courier, okay? You guys are award-winning paper.
We are. All We're going to keep winning.
Now, you guys, speaking of award-winning, okay? November dedicated to military families.
It is. It's Military Family Appreciation Month. And what that means is we just give our due respect to those who serve at home.
Right.
Serve on the home front. People couldn't go to war. Soldiers couldn't go to war without their families, their spouses, their children being adequately taken care of. And, that's what it's all about. So, really, they've got a tough job to do as well.
Absolutely.
It might be the toughest job in the Army.
I mean, here it is, okay? you have a team, okay? Yep. A family is a team, all right? And then all of a sudden, a member of that team, an integral member of that team,
right,
is taken out of the picture,
right?
All right? And that team member is now overseas and deployed and in the thick of it,
right?
Okay? Now, that team back home still needs to function as it was while the team was together.
Yeah.
And, man, what a juggle that spouse needs to do to step up. And the kids, I mean, it's just...
I can't imagine what it's like.
Team effort.
And it's those women and those men who are military spouses are so strong.
Right.
And they're such an integral part of success.
Yes.
Of completing our mission, winning. Because that's what we're there to do.
Yeah.
Is bottom line, win.
If a soldier is on patrol, okay, and in their mind is, man, things are getting screwed up at home. Yeah, you know, the
bank account.
Right. So, you know, I got this and this. And then, you know, they're not focused anymore.
No.
And but that team at home allows that and enables them to stay focused and on mission. So they are part of the mission.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
I think MWR's got a military family appreciation day event coming up here. On the 23rd of November.
Yeah.
The military family event.
www.fortcampbellmwr.com. Okay,
right.
Spell out Fort. Okay, go to that site. That I mean, MWR, especially the Fort Campbell MWR. All right, team Fort Campbell MWR, you know, and Melissa Schaffner, all right.
She's great.
Really making things happen for soldiers and the soldiers' families right here at home. And fantastic.
Yep, for years now. I want to let you know, too, Joe, Ollie North.
Ollie North, right.
He's coming to post.
Is he?
The 24th.
Ollie's coming to...
I'd love to get you...
Oh.
Either get him in here...
Yes.
Or you get you there. You know what I mean? I met him in Afghanistan
right.
for the second time. Met him in Iraq in 2005, 2006. So I've met him a couple times, and he's what a phenomenal American.
Yeah, you let me know what we got to do to get former Lieutenant Colonel, right?
Right.
Lieutenant Colonel Ollie North,
yep.
right here on the airwaves to help relay the soldier's story.
Oh, man, that guy would be great.
Absolutely. You got also another a book signing coming up at Fort Campbell.
We do.
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin's coming.
Big name.
Yeah, big name.
Like, let me tell you, a lot of book signings going on at Fort Campbell.
Right.
Who's that? That's all through AFES, right?
For years now. Yeah, AFES does a great job with this. So.
Colin Powell was just here.
Colin Powell. We've had
George
Donald Rumsfeld.
Rummy, right.
GW was here. All sorts of folks. And why do they come to Fort Campbell? Because they know that Fort Campbell is the home of the 101st,
yeah.
the premier fighting force in the U.S. military.
That's what I'm talking
you know
what I mean? About. Man, that is
and it's
that
the
is
community,
so true.
Too. It's the community as well.
You know, we mentioned that the team, the family team.
Right, right.
Okay? The community team is the same analogy.
Exactly.
All right? The same analogy, okay? When the soldiers of Fort Campbell deploy, okay, the family that stays home of Clarksville, Oak Grove, Hopkinsville, Palmyra, Woodlawn, okay, they're stepping up their game. You
right.
know, and it's amazing.
It is. There's a big push right now, Joe, to increase and enhance community participation and in military affairs events
right.
and vice versa. And I think that, you know, it couldn't be better. There couldn't be a better formula for that because you have these communities working hand in hand in partnerships with these military installations, and it's got to be symbiotic, right? Or else it's going to go south.
Yeah, it's just not going to work.
Right.
Right.
And in Clarksville, Oak Grove, Hopkinsville are such... This is such a phenomenal community for Fort Campbell. I've never seen any other military community as supportive of the soldiers and families. You know, it's just... This is it.
And Rendezvous Radio is your leading radio
That's right.
station in military community outreach.
That's right.
We got to isolate that. That's pretty good. That's like a good commercial. But we're going to start wrapping it up here. Next week's paper, what do you guys got brewing?
Oh, man, I can't tell you.
Okay.
And the Leaf Chronicle is going to try to scoop me.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not going to let that happen.
But to get Fort Campbell Courier, okay, you got all your papers out there. I mean, look for the big green box.
That's right.
Okay, they're all over. I mean, and they're fought, too. Okay,
yeah.
They're not just like right outside the post. They're not just right outside downtown Clarksville. I mean, I was up in Woodlawn. Okay, I got a little lost.
Yeah.
All right, and let me tell you, Woodlawn's an easy place to get lost. All right, but guess what? I found the Fort Campbell Courier box while I was lost. So I was found.
Yeah.
So I was found. That sounds so stupid.
That was cheesy, man.
But, Rick, I got to tell you, thank you. And what you guys do and your team at Full Campbell Courier. I mean,
thanks, Joe.
And you come on every week. I love this portion of the show. All right. Now, Stacy, you guys got some representation next week as well?
We do. As a matter of fact, we've got Dr. Crawford's coming in to talk about refractive eye surgery, LASIK, right?
Captain Crawford?
No, Dr. Courtney Crawford.
Oh, okay.
Who is up in our refractive eye surgery clinic over there. You know, a lot of soldiers have gotten to Fort Campbell and don't realize we offer LASIK or laser eye surgery.
Man.
So we just want to get the word out.
There's another one.
You guys, get rid of those glasses. Get over here and get your eyes fixed.
You know, okay, there you go. There you go. That's awesome. She says, just do it. Just do it.
Hey, one more plug, Joe.
Yes.
Hey, the Culminator.
The Culminator.
Coming up next Saturday.
Get down.
It's
the Culminator.
Get down. It's the Culminator.
What is the Culminator?
It is the culminating event for the Eagle Challenge Fitness Tour, and it's going to be a behemoth.
All right. Oh, behemoth.
Yes.
Man.
Get out, register for it, check MWR.com, sign up, get out there and do it. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Messy.
Just sign up for it. You know, the Eagle Challenge Fitness Tour was a year-long event that involved all of the different units partnering up with the MWR, Full Campbell MWR, and providing an outlet for physical exercise and to promote physical fitness.
What a success it's been.
Huge success. Yeah. So huge, I mean, it's just going to keep going. It's going to be every month.
It's almost infinite.
Oh, yeah, man. Everyone's tired, you know? But they're doing a great job, and they're going to be awarding the medals, too, right?
Yeah. It's going to be good. So, you know, those folks who participated in each one get different medals, gold, silver, bronze, and so on. But, you know, it's going to be a great event.
Right, yeah. Right. Absolutely. You know, John, any goodbye music or anything Master Sergeant Pete Mays makes his way into the studio. He was actually sitting here. But, you know, the theatrics of radio. He made his way into the studio.
It's kind of stuck on in, you know.
Yeah. So, next week, I mean, well, first of all, recap this week. I mean, fantastic.
It's been an incredible show. I mean, like, you know, we had a lot of great guests on today. I mean, a lot of history with the Rock-us on. Especially a lot of history with Bach and what they're doing right now with the Warrior Transition Battalion.
Right.
And Warrior Care Month. We really want to stress that Veterans Day weekend. You know, we can't say enough thank you to our veterans. You know, when you're out there and you see a veteran, you know, please, you know, don't forget to thank a veteran for everything that's going on.
So true.
So, you know, we've got a lot of great things, a lot of great information, you know, especially from Rick Zepka and the Fort Campbell Carrier staff. You know, it's been an incredible show. It really has been.
And with that, veterans, say you're welcome. Right. Take the thank you.
Buy him a drink.
Well, I don't know nothing. Kool-Aid. He's talking about Kool-Aid.
See, that's what we can
have. Buy him a cup of coffee.
But absolutely. But next week, we got Stacy mentioned the eye doctor that's going to be coming in.
Right, and we've also got the 160th SOAR.
Yeah.
They're coming in as well to talk about, you know, things that are happening in their footprint. So, again, you know.
Special operations of the air right there.
Yeah, they're going to fast rope in right into the parking lot.
You know, they own the night. I mean, I love the fact, I mean, they own the night and everything, so it's a good thing. You know, you look at the entire, you know, what we've been doing here with Rendezvous Radio with, you know, telling the soldier story here, the 101st Airborne Division, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Right.
You know, like you mentioned, number one governmental, you know, organizational podcast.
Right.
You know,
number one.
It's growing, and, you know, we want to definitely keep that enthusiasm going, keep everyone involved, keep everyone, you know, excited about what we're doing here.
Right.
It is historic.
That's right.
You know, it really is. It's something that's really special, you know, and it's something that should be emulated.
And we were just talking about community partnerships with the military, and here we are sitting here in WJZM, and it's a great partnership, and I think everyone benefits, especially the community, but most importantly, the soldier and the family.
It is a win-win situation all the way around, you know, for the community, for, you know, for the military, for everyone involved. You're right. This is a very big thing that's happening here.
You heard it. It's a win-win. That's right. This ain't no lose-lose. This is a win-win. And I got to tell you, thank you again for providing today's panel and all the guests. And I got to say thank you for the participating and listening audience. Because if not for you, none of it would be possible. Okay, so please continue to keep tuning in, logging in, joining in, and being a part of history here, what is known as Rendezvous Radio on WJZM 1400 AM and WVRY 105.1 FM. I'm former Sergeant Joe Padula of the 101st Airborne Division, now with WJZM, and it was an honor to relay the soldier story. I'll talk to you later. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.